Thank you, and good morning. It's really nice to see so many people into Armenian culture, and today you got a good glimpse of some of the dancing. I want to tell you a little bit more about the people. It may kind of seem strange to people, why is a priest talking about a culture, Armenian culture? Actually, it's not strange for us because we were the first Christian nation in the world, tracing our roots way back to the times of Jesus. And in fact, our mountain, which you saw over here, Mount Ararat, right in the middle of Armenia, is remembered in the Bible as the resting place where Noah's Ark rested. So we go back really far. In fact, we have a rich heritage and a cultural history that we're really proud of. Right now, there's so many Armenian examples that I could give you. In fact, here in America, the first Armenian came on the Mayflower, his name was Martin. In fact, you have something that Armenians invented right in your pocket. Probably don't know it, and you wish you had more of these, but these dollars, invented by Armenians, the ink on it, invented by a guy in the 18th century, made this ink that could not be duplicated. Yeah, you can't do it on your copy machines. It's a real fantastic ink. In fact, if you've heard of Augustine, who plays tennis, if you've heard of Kasparov, who plays chess, these are Armenians. Every one of you in this room was born at a time when the governor of California was a guy named George Duke-Mazin, and he was the governor of of the largest state in the United States. And so we're pretty proud as Armenians. Here in Pasadena, the police chief is Armenian. A couple years ago, we had the mayor who was Armenian. In fact, one of the school board members was with us, Alex Agajanian, even attended this school and made it to the school board. So you see that the possibilities are endless. But what I want to tell you today is something even more than that, and that's not just only being Armenian, but being human, being people who can recognize the challenge in front of us. There's a reason why we've assembled today in April to remember Armenians, and that's because we commemorate the first genocide of the last century, of the 20th century. And if I could have you just for a minute to imagine what it would be like if here in Pasadena, you were ordered because of the way you look, because of the color of your skin, because of who you were, because of your culture, to die. What happened to the Armenians was the same thing that happened to the African Americans. Some people, slave traders, decided that because people were black, they should be slaves. It was the same thing that happened to the Mexican Americans who came up here to work in the field, and people decided that because they were Mexican, they didn't need the same kind of health care, and it was okay to spray them with pesticides when they worked for the food. It's the same thing that happened throughout the world, and we'll be talking about it, but there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. If you'll indulge me for 1 minute, I'll tell you the whole reason for history, too. It'll kind of give you a reason for going to history class after this, too. If I have history teachers in here, you'll like me for this. You might even pay me off later on. This is a real good one. In 1915, a government dictate was to kill every Armenian living in Turkey. And because of that, millions of Armenians were forced into the desert. In the middle of the night, men were taken out of their houses. The women were raped. Imagine at your age, your sister, your girlfriend was not only raped in front of you, but then you heard about it from the police. The next day they'd be talking and bragging about it with language that would make many of the rappers feel ashamed. It was this incredible barbarism that was happening. There were children being killed. My grandmother, at age 20, had to dig a ditch with her own hands to bury her child. And it was next to another child, my grandmother's child, which would be my uncle, died of malaria because there was no water, flowing water. They were forced into the desert. She buried her child next to another lady, 22-year-old lady, who had a child. They had used her child as a football, these people. They had put it on the sword and tossed it from one person to the next person. And these women, who were just a few years younger, older than you, were the same people who had to start a life, start a brand new life, when they should be thinking about starting their families and everything, starting a life with this mourning and this sad feeling. And this is an incredible story if it was just to a couple people, but it happened to 1.5 million Armenians who were thrown out of their country and saw this kind of barbarism. And you say, so what? It happened 85 years ago. What's it to us? It's just a bit of history, right? Well, here's the catcher. 1932, just 15 years after the genocide, there was a guy who decided that every Jew should die. This guy's name you know. It's called Adolf Hitler. And Adolf Hitler was advised by one of his advisors, don't kill the Jews because you'll get bad press. And Hitler said in these words, he says, I can get away with it because who, after all, remembers what happened to the Armenians? This is 15 years after the genocide. Hitler was doing the same thing because the world had closed its eyes. And since that time, we remember things that happened in Rwanda, in Cambodia, right now in Tibet. Young women, your age, 14, 15 years old, are forced to have hysterectomies so that they cannot have children. It's killing off a generation, killing off a people. That's why we call it genocide. Homicide is killing off the human, killing off the person, genocide killing off the gene pool. And this is what happened in 1915, and you remember it because you have this opportunity. And that's the challenge in front of you, is an opportunity to make some noise and do something. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you are powerless. You have so much power inside of you. But channel that power towards the good. And you know what that good is. And you know what you can do. Because you see, in this room, every one of us have had pain. I talk to you about Armenians. You ask a Mexican, he can tell you about his people. You talk to the African American, he can tell you about his people. The Japanese can tell you about their people. The Chinese about their people, and so on and so on. Every one of us are human beings, and we've all experienced pain. Now, what do you do with that pain? If you just let it sit in a history book, then you're at fault, because it'll happen again. We have an opportunity now to do something. Here in America right now, America is telling us the genocide didn't happen. They're siding up with Turkey because there's a lot of money. In other words, they're calling us liars. Just a few years ago, you know what the Americans did? They tried to pass laws to say that concentration camps for the Japanese was okay during World War II. Because that was during the war. It's like Americans saying, well, it's okay that the African Americans were brought over here, because in that time, slavery was okay. Of course, none of this is okay, and of course, you cannot tolerate it. But the minute you close your eyes to history, people are going to do that. They're going to take advantage. And you have that power in you, as young people, to get out there and make a difference. There's never been a generation as educated as you are. Right now, you're the one generation that can, no one, this has never happened before, you are a generation that can teach your old elders how to live, how to work things. You have technology in your hands, you have the resources. Now take that and channel that, because deep down, each of us is a creation of God. If you look at a baby, if you have a baby in your family, that baby isn't born with hatred. It's born with a lot of love. They're cuddly things to have a baby. They learn to hate. We learn to hate. Keep that hatred away. Right now, from where I'm standing, I can see people of different color sitting together, being one family, one group of people. And yeah, it is hard. There's differences. I'm Armenian, you're Mexican, you're black. There's differences. We're not all the same. But you know what? We have to look for that same peace, and that's that we are all people, we all have blood in our veins, and we all hurt, and together we can hold hands and we can change this world. And so I'm calling on each of you today. Armenians are a small group of people, 7 million throughout the entire world. There's more people in Los Angeles than there are Armenians throughout the whole world. Yet, we have been able to bring together people to change this world. Take advantage of that and change what's in front of you. Wherever there is hatred, let people see that people can live together and we can make a better world in front of us. Stop the violence and stop the genocide. Stop all of us. God bless you all. And Thank you. And one more thing I got to tell you, because I came off as an Armenian, but let me tell you something. There has never been a greater place on earth than the United States of America, and God bless that place, because that is the home of the brave, and we're going to do it from here. So take care, and thank you very much for indulging me.